Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Happy Friday. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today on SportsGrid. I'm Craig Nish, along with David Maddox. Next hour, we're talking fantasy sports with you. We'll talk some season-long fantasy baseball with Gray Albright from Razzball. He'll join us in just a few minutes. Also, preview the weekend ahead in NASCAR with Jim Sannis of NumberFire and FanDuel. And, of course, it's me and Davis for the full hour here today. Davis, we've got, of course, a lot to get to here on the show. A pretty big story in baseball, of course. Joe Girardi has been let go as manager of the Philadelphia Phillies. Their bench coach, Rob Thompson, will take over there. So that's our big story of the day today. And then, of course, we have last night's surprise, where, you know, essentially it looked like Golden State was off to a pretty good start last night, and then Boston just roared back, scored 120 points on that Warriors defense.
Yeah, I got to be honest, I was very surprised the way that game played out. I mean, one, you would very much expect that the Warriors playoff experience would not allow, you know, a 15-point comeback in the second half. I believe at one point they were up 92-78, so a pretty sizable lead. There was, you know, that record for a long time during the Warriors dynasty that once they got up 15 points, they basically never lost games. I think Steph is something like 21-2 in the first game of a playoff series. And I also, I expected the Celtics to have a really hard time. You know, we talked about this on the show yesterday. There are 29 teams in the NBA and there are the Warriors. And the market, by the way, has really reacted to the result of this game. You know, one, I think the market expecting the Celtics to have a lot tougher time than they did. And two, the Celtics have lost home court. You know, they gave up their first game. So that's huge over the context of the rest of the series. So now the Celtics are big favorites. This morning on the FanDuel Sportsbook, they are minus 180 to win the NBA Finals after being dogs yesterday. The Celtics are down in that plus one, or the Warriors rather, are in that plus 150, plus 160 range. I kind of like taking a stab on the Warriors at that price. I don't know. It just kind of feels like they're going to get it done. It feels like these younger teams kind of need the heartbreak before they get over the hump.
Yeah, it's just kind of shocking that, you know, everything going for the Warriors in game one, except for the actual outcome of the game. I mean, having rest and just, you know, sort of waiting back for Boston. Maybe we'll have a really good series. We'll see. That's where we begin with our headlines here on the show today. As Boston more or less dominates, as Davis said, in the second half of the game, they end up covering. They end up winning in game one. Game two will be Sunday. Francisco Lindor missed last night's game after slamming his finger in a door. He's expected to play at some point this weekend. Colorado Avalanche take a 2-0 series lead in the West Finals. They pretty much dominated Edmonton from start to finish. In this one, not quite the amount of goals that we saw, by the way, in game two that we saw in game one. And Hideki Matsuyama was disqualified yesterday from the Memorial for having an illegal club. He had some sort of like signal on the middle of his club. It was sort of bizarre there. It looked like a white circle. I don't know that I've ever seen this before on a professional, Davis. So definitely we could touch on that. And also we obviously have to touch on the Phillies making a managerial change. I mean, that's a pretty big story there. Joe Girardi, you know, was brought in a few years ago by the Phillies to kind of right the ship. This offseason, they went out. They got Kyle Schwarber. They got Nick Castellanos. Jason Stark broke the story earlier today. I guess building a team with no defense whatsoever, Davis, is going to get the manager fired, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, I guess this kind of just does feel like he is the fall guy. They spend all this money, they acquire Castellanos, they acquire Schwarber, of course, Bryce Harper making the big bucks. And I mean, pretty much like I would guess that these signings were not co-signed by the analytics department of the Philadelphia Phillies. My guess that this would have been, you know, the movers and the shakers very high up making the call to have Kyle Schwarber and Nick Castellanos, you know, kind of playing those corner spots, because if it just should not really setting your team up for success. You know, defensive runs saved in the outfield are so important. There are some positions you just can't really scrape by. And by the way, it's made them a worse team, because they this injury with Bryce Harper has meant that he's DHing a ton. And right. So, you know, they're playing Roman Quinn, Odubel Herrera, because they have to play a good defensive center fielder, right? I mean, if imagine how much worse it would be if Castellanos and Schwarber were on the corners and then they had, you know, some jabroni with a 340 weighted on base average, but, you know, negative defensive runs saved in center field. So, like, it's and I mean, you know, Girardi, like, it's, I'm not gonna cry for him. You know, it's the deal we all know in baseball, and I would assume that he was at least somewhat on board with this plan, right? You know, I would assume that he wasn't like, oh, I don't want Nick Castellanos on my team, but yeah, it just really has not worked out.
Yeah, Mickey Moniak now the starting center fielder for the Phillies. Quinn was starting there before they let him go. You know, Herrera, now Segura is out too. Remember, you know, the Harper thing, I think, is really the key there. You know, once he went down, there was no backup plan. And as we talked about here a few weeks ago, Davis, when the Phillies were here, you know, you hit a ball to the corner, I mean, it's a guaranteed double, if not a triple. And that's just not something that's sustainable over the course of the season. So underperforming Phillies, that's the first manager.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Cobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98, because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Managerial change of the 2022 season, their bench coach Rob Thompson, they named interim manager, by the way, for the remainder of the season. So that basically means Thompson gets an audition to be the manager in the future with the Philadelphia Phillies. We'll see if that is the answer for them, as they are closer to last than they are to first in that division. No doubt about that. All right. Gray Albright will join us next. We'll talk some fantasy baseball with him. The two hot names, Paul Goldschmidt and Mike Trout. And then we'll touch on a struggling player as well. So stay on the grid. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports today here on Sports Grid. Joining us as he always does on Friday to talk a little fantasy baseball is Gray Albright of Razzball. You can follow him on Twitter at Razzball. He joins us now. We're going to talk some players and also talk about the news of the day in baseball as well. Gray, thanks for coming on the show. Hope you're well.
Hey, how's it going, man? Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you too, Gray. Before we get into the fantasy, I guess we could kind of focus on The story that broke about an hour ago, Jason Stark of The Athletic reports that Joe Girardi has been let go. It's been confirmed by the Phillies Twitter account, so it's legit. Girardi did not have a ton of success in his seasons in Philadelphia, and Gray, they really have done a lot to try and make the team good, assigning Bryce Harper, extending JT Realmuto, Didi Gregorius, Castellanos in right, Schwarber in left, Knebel trying to fix that bullpen. None of it really worked out. I guess when you look at it, and sort of taking the fantasy angle from it, like how much is that manager really worth? Joe Girardi, sort of a proven commodity as far as being able to manage, or how culpable do you think he is in this?
Well, I guess Dombrowski couldn't fire himself, so he had to fire someone. I don't know if I'd really put it at the feet of Girardi. You know, it was the way the team was built. They kind of actually, the Phillies built their team like a fantasy team. They went out and they got all the big bats and they were like, you know what? We'll figure out defense some other time. And usually with real baseball, you got to play a little bit of defense. You got to play the field sometimes. So unfortunately, the way they built that team, it was just so bizarre. Everyone, Twitter user, like random Philly fanatic, lover, 3000 at Rasp, whatever it is, random Philly fanatic person on Twitter could have told you in March, they had no field, they had no defense, they had no team to play the field. They went out and they got two DHs, which is, fine. Castellanos and Schwarber are great bats, but I mean, you need someone to play the field. And, with Bryce Harper's injury, then was a really kind of a fatal blow for them that he couldn't play the field either. So he was forced to DH. So then they were really scrambling. And now, I think Mickey Moniak is the center fielder or something. It's a mess. It's not good. And you know what? The Phillies' worst part is their bullpen. It's like their bullpen is actually the actual issue. It's like they get to the ninth inning and they have like 8-1. And it's like, okay, let's coast. Bring in Sir Anthony Dominguez. And then Corey Knebel comes in and gives up 12 runs. Like, oh, man. That can't happen. Girardi is totally the fall guy, unfortunately. But it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah, no, and we see it happen in sports. They say a new voice. I don't know that much will change, but this is just a year after year problem. It makes you think that what, can the Phillies do in the future? Unfortunately, Gray, if they were to fall out of it, they really can't even move their guys. I mean, who is going to take Schwarber at that contract? Who's going to take Castellanos at that contract? You're in an almost impossible spot.
Whenever anyone mentions a contract, all I can think about is Patrick Corbin. So, as long as you don't have the Patrick Corbin contract,
you're there forever.
There's worse things than to have Schwarber locked up. But I agree, there are big contracts behind those guys, and they're not going anywhere. They have to figure out a way to work around what they have already, unfortunately.
Yeah, maybe find a prospect to attach. That's usually what teams do. All right, now let's get to some fantasy discussion. In the National League, Paul Goldschmidt, Gray, is doing something that he usually doesn't do. And you may wonder, what is that? Wait a second. Paul Goldschmidt's 30-100 every year. Well, Gray, he never does well in April and May. And he did this year. It's like a miracle. Like, usually he's the second half guy, not the first half guy. So I guess the question is, you own him in fantasy, he's grading out as a first-round pick. Is this just the year of a full season of Goldschmidt? Because if it is, he's going to hit 40 and drive in 120.
Yeah, I mean, with Goldschmidt, I had, because you said, hey, I want to, Gray, could you bring your big brain on the show and talk about Goldschmidt? So I went and I did a little research, and I was like, really surprised to see he's overperforming by a decent amount. Now, I'm not going to say he's going to fall off a cliff, but I was shocked to see because, Goldschmidt has a name, and behind that name, you get a guy who you're like, okay, he's always good. We know he's going to be good. He's good every year. But this year, he's being good, but it's not completely supported by the peripherals. So his expected batting average is 277. He's hitting like 3-something. I mean, he's like out of control. Right now he's hitting 350 almost. I think 349. Anyway, his power is probably going to remain where it is. You know, he's like a 27 homer guy. He's got 11 homers now. So that sounds about right. But if the average drops out, which I expect it will, at some point he's going to start losing counting stats. The runs and RBIs won't be there if he's not getting on base, if he's not getting hits. So the power can remain, but I do think he's probably at peak value right now. Unfortunately, if you have him, so that means you could sell high. I mean, if I don't think he's going to bottom out and become unusable, but I don't think he's going to be this good at all, like for the rest of the season. Maybe definitely usable, maybe good even, but not this good.
Yeah, hard to imagine that he's the, you know, NL MVP candidate, but he's right there. And now the Hall of Fame discussion has started with him, because if he can maintain this for a few more years, you look at the comps, it's there with some other players.
You know, sorry, not to interrupt, but the other Hall of Fame guy who everyone was talking about last year, Joey Votto, another NL first baseman. Man, is he struggling. I didn't even realize. I was looking at his stats yesterday. He's hitting like 179. Like, yeah. What happened to Joey Votto? I mean, I know he got old, but whew, man.
I mean, he's out with COVID for a month. I mean, maybe that had something to do with it. Yeah, I don't know.
That's true. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. All right. You know, so let's go to somebody that was, for the last decade, Gray, a very solid third baseman in fantasy. Justin Turner. Justin Turner's numbers resemble nothing like they used to. He's always a big postseason hero for the Dodgers, no doubt. Has age crept in here? Because the Dodgers are not a team that's just going to sit back and let somebody work it out for 6 months. Do you think he turns it around?
Well, you know, I said this on Razzball the other day, that with Justin Turner, I like where he is for a lineup and for fantasy value because of his lineup. So I don't think he's going to get benched. Like, he might get more off days than usual. It'll be interesting if Muncy comes back healthy, which I don't think is going to happen. Then Edwin Rios, he will potentially bump Turner for some playing time. But the thing is, I think Muncy is going to have a lost season. Like, his elbow is already an issue. I don't think he's coming back necessarily in any sort of like form that we've seen before. So I think Justin Turner's actually pretty safe for runs and RBIs. I don't see necessarily the average ever bouncing back. Maybe he hits 230, but you're never getting a 270 Justin Turner again.
Yeah, 675 OPS, that's near the bottom of baseball. It's been a tough year for him for sure. All right, Gray, we're out of time, unfortunately, for this week. The Girardi stuff kind of caught us by surprise a little bit today. But looking forward to catching up with you again next week. Thank you again for coming on the show.
Thank you.
All right, Gray Albright. Follow him on Twitter at Raz.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots.
Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Razzball, Razzball.com. Use the Streaminator to make all of your pitching decisions for the upcoming week in fantasy baseball. We'll take a quick time out here on the show. NASCAR heads to Illinois. We'll bring in Jim Sanis and get a preview of that on the Daily Fantasy side next, right here on Sports Grid. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. I'm Craig Mish. Every Friday, we're joined by Jim Sanis of FanDuel and NumberFire. Make sure you join Jim over on social media at Jim Sanis. And we're going to break down some DFS options on the NASCAR circuit this weekend. Jim, great to have you here on the show once again. What's going on?
I'm excited to be here, Craig. Thanks for having me on. How are you doing today?
No, I'm doing well. Looking forward to the weekend here, and part of what we're going to be doing this summer, Jim, is focusing more on NASCAR. NBA is coming to an end, NHL as well, and naturally NASCAR Fast and Furious riding high. Where are we headed this week? What track are we headed to?
It's Worldwide Technology Raceway, also known as Gateway, and it's the first time the NASCAR Cup Series has been here ever. They've had a lot of NASCAR Truck Series races. They've had a lot of Xfinity Series races here, not since 2010, but like they've been to this track before, and that means that although it's a new track for the Cup Series, you kind of know what to expect. It is a very, very flat track. Like, I'm from the Midwest. It's very appropriate that Gateway is a flat track because the Midwest is very flat. So that makes a lot of sense. And we can look at guys who have done well on flat tracks both last year and this year. Our sample this year is pretty small, just three races so far on what I would call flat tracks. But I think we got some good takeaways from that. And it's an intermediate track. So bumping up speed a little bit from where we've had it for tracks like Phoenix, Richmond, Martinsville. And I think that if you kind of blend like a mile and a half with a short flat track, that's kind of where Gateway winds up settling in. And I think that should probably put us in the right path towards knowing what to expect for this weekend.
All right. So let's take a look right now at the DFS pricing and see what we got here for the Enjoy Illinois 300. That's what the race is called this weekend. So no surprise here at the top of Kyle Larson at 14,000. We have Kyle Busch at 13,500. Martin Truex Jr. we have at 13,000. Denny Hamlin at 12,500. Chase Elliott at 12,000. And boy, I don't know that I've seen Ross Chastain's name this highly priced, Jim, in a race this year, 11,500. Maybe I just missed his name, but I don't recall seeing him this high.
Yeah, he was 10.5 last week, so below this cutoff. But I think you should probably get used to it because he's around to stay. And I think that Chastain is in the best tier for this week. I think that second tier, the Elliott tier through Christopher Bell at $9,500, that tier is loaded for this week. And I think the reason that I like that tier so much is that the gap between the top four guys, Larson, Busch, Truex, Hamlin, and that second tier isn't all that big to me. My model agrees, where it thinks a lot of those guys are legitimate contenders for the win. So if I can load up on that second tier, get three out of Elliott, Chastain, Byron, Blaney, Logano, Bell, and I don't care which three, they're all very good. I think I want to get three of those guys because they all have legitimate win odds. I think I've got Bell's win odds, the lowest of the group, around 5.5%, 5.7%. And honestly, I'd probably take the over, or 6.4% for Christopher Bell. So if you get three guys with a legitimate shot to win this race in your lineups, you're probably going to feel pretty good about how things look. Now, I do want to see what goes down in practice. That is going to be tonight at Gateway with qualifying on Saturday. But I think to me, Craig, that is the most loaded tier we've got for this race, that second tier with all those guys in there, because we saw Blaney be really fast in the short flat tracks earlier on. Chase Elliott, same thing. Chastain this year hasn't been stellar on the short flat tracks, but last year he was. Before he had his two breakout, he was great in New Hampshire. He was very good in Richmond. He also ran well in Nashville, which is a flat track, and that was, again, before his breakout last year. So I think this tier is very good. My win sims like Joey Logano a lot from a betting perspective, so it makes sense we like him for DFS. Christopher Bell, unreal on flat track. So to me, Craig, that second tier of Bell through Elliott is just where I want to live for the most part this week.
All right. So make sure you follow Jim on Twitter and make sure you pay attention to the practice tonight. And then for all the simulations over on NumberFire, that will help your approach this weekend before the race coming up on Sunday. Is it, Jim? Is it Sunday or Saturday?
Yeah, Sunday race. So it's weird they have practice Friday. They haven't done this for a while, basically since COVID, had practice 2 days before the race. But it does mean that practice will be the same time, as in like the same track temperature as the race on Sunday, which will help for sure.
Gotcha. Okay, good. So yeah, I don't recall hearing Friday stuff going on at night. Okay, so now let's go over to a little baseball here, Jim. I know that you know, you're multifaceted, can handle all of these different DFS options. You know, talking about like the two best DFS prices, basically, in the American League, the pitchers that have given you the best prices for the best result, Nestor Cortes of the New York Yankees. Now, finally, the DFS pricing has caught up at this point, naturally, because it's only going to take three or four starts. But his numbers are just staggering this season, Jim. And I wonder, even as his price rises with the Yankees, if you can continue to use him. 5-1 this season with a 1.50 ERA, 68 strikeouts. What really stands out with Cortes this year is the fact that he's just not putting anyone on base. And so the whip there is representative of that. I don't believe anybody has a better whip in baseball than Cortes at 0.87.
Yeah, so regarding the salary, I've continued to use Cortes despite the increasing salary because of what you mentioned. He's a good, well-rounded pitcher. So I think the one thing you could say about Cortes potentially is maybe the strikeouts will come down. He gets a lot of called strikes, not a ton of swinging strikes, and sometimes you will see shakiness where when that's the scenario, you will see strikeouts come down. We've seen a bit of that in that Rays game where he was unreal, didn't get as many strikeouts, 7 strikeouts yesterday. So if we say, okay, the strikeout rate comes down a bit, that does hurt his appeal for DFS because obviously strikeouts are everything because they you just get so many points from them, but he's still going to probably suppress hard contact. His hard hit rate allowed is 34%, so a very good number. So even if you take away some of the strikeouts, I'd still expect him to be 27, 26% strikeout rate, which is good enough if you're good in the batted ball department. And Cortes has been that. We've seen guys of that mold be fantastic for DFS. We're talking about Max Fried in the past, talking about Sandy Alcantara this year. Guys who get enough strikeouts, go super deep into games, and suppress hard contact. That archetype is super valuable. So even if Cortes does see his strikeouts decline a bit, I'm still inclined to think that he's going to be a pretty good pitcher for DFS. So the salary, I think, will stay high. I don't expect that to come down at all, but I'm okay with that because of what he has done so far and what I expect him to continue to do, even if there is some regression in the strikeout department.
Yeah, no, it very well could be. And look, sometimes guys catch lightning in a bottle. Other times guys end up being really good. We'll see which one Cortes is. But, you know, clearly the data showing from the end of last year and this year, very good pitcher. Now, we don't have the same data on Martin Perez because right now he's pitching as well as anybody in baseball, Jim, but he has just never shown this before. So this is the dynamic that it's a little bit of a guessing game with the Texas Rangers, as they've kind of vaulted themselves back to relevancy here. If they could ever get Simeon going, I mean, maybe Texas can compete in this division. But as of right now, his numbers are pretty staggering. 1.42 earned run average and a whip again under one. I remember a couple of years ago, Jim, in fantasy in the season-long format, I think his velocity was up. Maybe he was with Boston. I don't recall. But you know, they were saying, oh, this is going to be the year where Martin Perez breaks out. That definitely did not happen. But it is happening now.
It definitely is. And I think that with him, he's definitely kind of the guy who fits better with season long than he does with DFS, because even with the good results, the strikeouts have not been there. And, you know, I talked about with Cortes, Alcantara, Fried, where these guys can excel in DFS even without a ton of strikeouts. They still have like a 24 or 25% strikeout rate, whereas Perez is at 20% right now. I'd expect that to stay there. That, though, is high enough for season-long if your ratios will be great, and I think his ratios will still be very good going forward. I think he's a legitimately different pitcher this year than he was last year. I'm not sure what he's done to change it. Like, his pitch mix seems pretty similar, his velocity seems pretty similar, but for whatever reason, if it's sequencing or something like that, it seems like it's working a lot better this year than it did last year. Perez this year, a 56% ground ball rate. Last year, 44%, it was 39% in 2020. So a very different change for him in regards to getting a lot more ground balls, which is what he did when he was younger with Texas. He was a big ground ball guy, but had a very low strikeout rate. Now he's getting a good enough strikeout rate with an outlierishly high ground ball rate. And that combo for season-long leagues can be enough to be a really solid pitcher. Skill Interactive ERA this year, 3.62. That is a stat that is heavily dependent on a high strikeout rate. Still very good there. His expected ERA at Baseball Savant, 2.47, which tells me that the batted ball numbers are very, very good. So Perez, I'm not sure if he'll ever really get on the DFS radar, because I do want more strikeouts out of my pitcher, unless it's a lower strikeout slate. Mm-hmm. Then maybe he could be in play there. For me, I want more strikeouts for DFS. But for season long, I am pretty much buying into what Perez has done. Don't expect a 1.42 ERA by any means, but I would say going forward, I wouldn't be shocked if he gives you a 3.5 ERA the rest of the way. Pretty good park for pitching when they close that roof. You know, I think that the batted ball number should stick. So even with some regression coming, I think for season long leagues, if you get a 3.50 ERA the rest of the way, that's not totally unquestionable. And I think that if you do get that, you're probably feeling pretty good, even with him not being a super high strikeout guy.
Yeah, and that's really the key. I think that, as you illustrated, for the season-long format, it's sort of like you just keep rolling with what you have. DFS, it does change the dynamic based on the pricing. You're looking for more strikeouts. Pairing Perez with four other guys in a season-long fantasy rotation is a little different than trying to make a few thousand dollars in one night. Makes sense. All right, Jim. Well, listen, have a good weekend. Appreciate you coming on the show. As always, looking forward to catching up with you again next week. It is really putting the pedal to the metal here with our NASCAR coverage each and every Friday. Thanks again for coming on.
Yeah, thank you, Craig. Appreciate it. Should be a fun weekend. Got the Xfinity Series out at a road course in Portland, too. So fun week for racing, as always, but especially this weekend, I think.
All right, Jim Sanis with us. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Jim Sanis. All his work over at NumberFire and FanDuel. Coming up next on the show, time for some fantasy or reality. Davis joins us next. We'll get into everything happening in the world of fantasy sports. We also have the Sports Grid 60, so stay tuned to that. Coming up at 2 o'clock Eastern, I'll be back with you here on Newswire as Dustin Gawker joins us from Legal Sports Report, as well as George Kurtz previewing.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As a season shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Tonight's game with the Rangers and Lightning. Be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Make sure you follow us on social media. It's really easy to do. That's at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV for the latest news, notes, information, picks against the spread, video clips from all of our hosts talking fantasy sports and talking sports wagering like Davis and I here on the show. Of course, our biggest story of the day is in baseball, Davis, as Joe Girardi is no longer the manager of the Philadelphia Phillies. He just conducted an interview on Sirius XM radio saying that he wishes the Phillies all the best. They went 3-7 last week. He thinks they should have been 7-3. But look, the construction of Major League Baseball teams in general, Davis, is usually the reason why teams win or lose. In this case, hard to view Girardi as the main culprit here with the Phillies, but certainly there's not going to be a lot of roster reconstruction, I wouldn't think, unless the Phillies decide to just completely alter their thinking this year.
Yeah, I mean, how much does a baseball manager really impact wins and losses? I assume that a lot of the feedback they get about, the shift and bullpen usage and how to construct the lineup, like, that is not a unilateral decision. Joe Girardi is not handing the lineup sheet without conveying, talking to other members of the front office, the analytics team and everything. So generally speaking, the manager is kind of a fall guy. Now, I mean, there are some guys who, they get in arguments with the players and things like that. They can become bristly personalities. But I think by and large, firing the manager when you have a team that is underperforming expectations because you have crappy defense and a bad bullpen is there's not really anything he could have done.
No, not much there. And Girardi's tenure over, and my guess is in a couple of years, he'll be on TV and then he'll be well-liked again, Davis, and he'll be a manager on another baseball team too. All right, time for fantasy or reality. All right, a story that could percolate in the future, Davis, looks to be the potential sale of the Portland Trail Blazers. Of course, Paul Allen owning the Trail Blazers for so long, now it's basically the family, essentially looking like it's deciding to make a change, which is only natural in sports. Teams do change hands eventually. In this case, it could be the Trail Blazers. And look, Nike's Phil Knight as a possibility of being involved in this, and also a Los Angeles Dodgers owner as well. So this could change the dynamic as to how we see the Portland Trailblazers in the future. Fantasy reality, Davis, Phil Knight will be part of the winning bid to buy the Portland Trailblazers, the CEO, I believe, of Nike, if I'm not mistaken. Fantasy or reality?
Look, if Phil Knight wants to own the Portland Trailblazers, if he has decided that, sponsoring NIL guys at Oregon is not enough for him, he wants to really do this, he's going to make it happen. Because what does money matter to Phil Knight? I mean, $2 billion, $3 billion, these numbers are immaterial to him. He is one of the richest people on the planet. I think a lot of us learned with this Elon Musk thing, it's like, it's not even all going to be his money. It's going to be leverage. There's going to be all sorts of complex financial instruments that go into it. So he can pony up whatever the money is. So really, it's just a matter of the team that owns or the group of people that own the Portland Trail Blazers now deciding that they want to sell the team. And, they have been owned by the Paul G. Allen Trust for a while. That's kind of what feeds into this is I believe Paul Allen died 2 years mm-hmm. ago. It's not the guy that built the team, that bought the team, that did all these things, that owns the team. I would assume it's probably his kids at this point who make up a lot of that trust. And, when the emotion is not involved and you're seeing dollar signs in your eyes, I think it's a lot easier to say yes than when you are the guy who, originally made it happen. So I'm saying reality, and I'm saying Phil Knight and his group do end up owning the Portland Trail Blazers.
Yeah, and I think that you illustrated that pretty well. I think that, look, this is kind of, you wonder why this hasn't happened yet, and I suppose it's just a choice to be involved in this. And look, Oregon, you mentioned too, very heavily involved in being a booster there as well. As the CEO or owner or whatever of Nike, you literally could buy whatever you wanted. Maybe this is the way in. NBA franchises, Major League Baseball franchises, and in particular, the NFL, they do not come up very often. And when they do, it's usually an overbid. Is there any object to Phil Knight that he couldn't make? Probably the answer is no. I would say reality, if they do go up for sale and if they are sold, yes, Nike will be part of that, I would say for sure. All right, let's move on to the San Diego Padres, as the Padres took a flyer, Davis, a couple of weeks ago on Robinson Cano. Now, we did a fantasy reality at that time, and I said that it was done, that Robinson Cano would probably not play. You said that he would. You were right. Now, let's see if we can do this all over again, because Robinson Cano is being let go now by the San Diego Padres. And he was, you know, his cup of coffee with the Padres, Davis, what would we call it? A complete disaster, unmitigated disaster. I don't know. He just didn't do anything while he was there. But his name is Robinson Cano. Let's keep that in mind. Fantasy reality, Cano will sign with another Major League Baseball team this season.
Yep. As a member of the San Diego Padres, he had 34 plate appearances, one walk, three hits, one run scored, one RBI, one strikeout. I mean, about as non-memorable as a stint can get. So the Padres, or when we had this discussion originally, I said he's going to sign on with a crappy team just to, you know, get some at-bats or whatever, but I was wrong, right? Padres, I mean, at least fashion themselves as a good team, that the results maybe would beg to differ on that a little bit. They've been scuffling more than they would have imagined. But I, you know, it's like, the thing about baseball is guys can just kind of do this in perpetuity. By the way, do you know who was replaced Robinson Cano on the Major League? I was shocked by this. Nomar Mazara has apparently been at AAA El Paso for the San Diego Padres. I played Nomar Mazara in MLB Daily Fantasy yesterday. He was minimum salary, left-handed power bat. Why not? But I'm going to say we get one more stint.
Wow.
And I am wondering, Craig, I am wondering if the stint that happens is right now. His old team, the Seattle Mariners, are 22-29. They are only two games out of last place. I wonder if we get like a weak cameo of Robinson Cano, you know, DHing or whatever for the Seattle Mariners. You know, what I mean, probably not the Pirates, because the Pirates don't even care at this point. I could see the Rockies being a team that does this. I could see the D-backs being a team. But yeah, I think we get, I'm going to call it 19 more plate appearances of Robinson Cano, and then that's it. It's done. It's over. We won't see him again.
Yeah, I'll just double down and say fantasy again. I mean, listen, the one thing, even though I was wrong, I was right. He was done. And I still think that he is done. But look, you have to look at second base situations around the league. I think that you definitely could find one. And look, the odds are some team will take a shot again. Now, Robinson Cano, again, could decline any minor league, you know, demotion here. That's a mistake for him. Like, he absolutely should go to AAA with some team and show that he could still play. But who am I to say? The guy's got hundreds of millions of dollars based on that contract that he signed. And it didn't work out for the Mets. Didn't work out for the Padres. Not going to work out for the next team, too. But could he end up in Kansas City, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati? Yes, of course, he could play for one of those teams, but I think his career is over. So I will say he will not. I will say fantasy, but he'll continue to try. That's for sure. All right, finally, let's get to the new meal. And we love talking food here on the show. And we're going over to KFC. And one of the, you know, sort of just trying to make the influencer meals, popular is Jack Harlow this time, Davis. So based on the name Jack Harlow, you will buy a Jack Harlow KFC meal, fantasy or reality?
Yeah, very easy reality. I am the exact person that this is being marketed to, right? Love Jack Harlow, love collector's item. You know, I got the Travis Scott meal from McDonald's. I was there. I did it. And the Travis Scott thing didn't even come with like special packaging or whatever. You know, it was just a hamburger, fries, drink, and a sauce. But this is, you know, this is next level. When you order this, you actually do get like a little bit of collectible memorabilia. But Craig, you know, I have the Tyler Herro cereal. I mean, I got, this is, it's right up my alley. This is the type of, and I mean, I don't like fast food, but I eat fast food for sure sometimes. But yeah, reality, I don't know if I'll go get it June 6th. I was actually just thinking, I saw this on the rundown. I'm leaving to go on a golf trip this weekend after we wrap up this show. And I was like, well, I'm going to need to get some food in the car anyway. I'll just go buy and go grab this, like, just to do it. But it doesn't start until next week. So not only am I going to do this, I was like ready to do this today.
Yeah, fantasy for me. And you know, if this was, I don't do a lot of fast food either. I'm trying to think of like my go-to sort of fast foods. And they're not a lot. They're very few at this stage. You know, maybe Pollo Tropical is something every once in a while I'll have. But beyond that, Davis, it is, you know, there's no McDonald's in my future. There's no Burger King in my future. There's no Popeyes. I did relent a couple of years ago. Maybe it was last year. I don't remember. I was with Joe Pizzapia, I think, when the Popeyes chicken sandwich was really hot. I feel like that was a 2020. Yeah. Like, and that was worth doing. But it was just because everybody had tried it. I felt like I had to as well. And I don't think I may have had it once or twice. So it really wouldn't matter who the influencer is and what kind of meal is. It would not, KFC is not going to be in my vocabulary.
What if Jazz Chisholm Jr. had, you know, like a local South Florida type thing? Like, would you go and get that?
Probably not. Now, my son, on the other hand, may be interested on whatever that little thing is that they would do.
The cup?
But, yeah. You know, for him, you know, the things are really easy because it's given away at the park, you know? So it's like, it's, you buy a ticket, you get a bobblehead, you buy a ticket, you get a mug, you buy a ticket, you get a hat. Like that's, yes. Like, well, fortunately I can get those anyway, just by going, because they usually give them to the media anyway, but to make the right special trip, Davis, the answer is usually no. I will say, you know what? There is a place locally here. It's called Char Hut in South Florida. They make some unbelievable burgers. And you know what I like most about them, Davis, is that when I order them, it takes a lot of time to get them. So I know that they're making them.
You know, it's good. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, it's taking 10 minutes.
Do you guys do Chipotle? Are you guys, do you guys ever
eat? Very rare.
That's our go-to. Like, we didn't grab meat to thaw out. We haven't gone to the grocery store. Chipotle, because Chipotle is a lot of food. So you're never feeling like peckish afterward. Like, it's enough food. And yes, it's not, you know, it's not health food. Like, Chipotle is not like, but it's like much better than eating a greasy hamburger, right? Like, you feel way better after downing a Chipotle bowl. So that's like, I eat Chipotle a lot, like once or twice a month at minimum.
Yeah. See, the thing is like once you have kids and you have a family and you're sitting around at the dinner table. So as an example, if I was to do that and I have the Chipotle for lunch, Davis, and then dinner comes around, I'm kind of sitting at the table not eating. They're like, what's wrong? Right. Why aren't you eating the meal? I'm like, I don't know. I had Chipotle for lunch. It's kind of like, I'm not ready yet, you know? And that is also, I know it's crazy, but that's the dynamic that I think about too when it comes to this stuff. All right. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't make sense. Maybe I should just eat whatever's in front of me. We'll take a break here on the show. Coming up next, time for the Sports Grid 60. And then we got the early line coming up in about 10 minutes. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. Just a reminder, I'll be back with you at 2 o'clock Eastern for another edition of Newswire. So those of you who are going to have some lunch, tune back in at 2. I'll be right here. Let's turn it over to Davis. He's got a big weekend ahead. We got to get him out of here. 60 seconds, Sports Grid 60.
So kind of inspired by the Hideki Matsuyama thing, I was just thinking like how different golf can be depending on your approach to it. So we have the match on Wednesday. You get to pick a drive, then you play your own ball after that. You get a mulligan. You get to move your ball a club length either way. So if you hit it into the grass, you know, the deep stuff, you can move it on out. You can move it out of the wood chips or whatever. And, you know, the exact opposite of that is Hideki getting disqualified basically for some small coloring on his club or whatever. And I am definitely not good enough at golf. And I think most of us are not good enough at golf. The way they did the match, like, That is great to me. So that really inspired me. I think that's what we're going to do this weekend for our match play. I'm all in on very relaxed, casual golf like that. I hate the absolute stickiness of the rules of professional golf.
All right, let me get to some hockey, believe it or not, here for a minute. The Tampa Bay Lightning will take on the New York Rangers tonight. One of the great things about sports is also one of the worst things about sports. Now, originally I am from New York, but more or less have grown up here in South Florida. But when New York sports is good and when teams from New York are winning, it makes it a lot of fun because you know the fans have a lot of passion. But it also creates this dynamic of insufferable fans from New York. And thus tonight, I think, is critical for the Tampa Bay Lightning to win this game on the road. Because if the Rangers win tonight at home, they're going to go up 2-0 and winning both games essentially to start this series, probably a good chance we're going to see the Rangers back in the finals. And don't get me wrong, I'm okay with it. But it does create this dynamic where every single New Yorker comes out as a fan of the team. And that could be the Rangers coming up in less than a week from now. That'll do it for our show. Thanks to Jim Sanis and Gray Albright for coming on. And also, of course, our friends at LTN, Danny and Ryan on the graphics. And our producer, Brett Levy, for Davis Maddock. I'm Craig Mish. I hope you enjoy your weekend. We'll see you again on Monday.